There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Somewhere in South End, when you were fun, you took my hand and you made me run up past the prison to the seafront. You climbed the cliff edge and took the punch.
We're back at the races. I usually cut in before the off-color language starts, but I couldn't do it there because I got the flying monkeys assembled. And here, DeRosa's late constantly. Constantly, yeah. You're a loose horse. Let me get that out of the way. All right, this is exciting for the first time, I think. Right? Yeah, this is the first time. It's the first time you've been on. Is it? Hold on. Click that mic up. You're bad with the mic, too. There you go. What the hell's going on? There we go. Try it now.
First time, long time.
There we go. Scott Shapiro joins us. Chapa the Kappa. That was a great. That was a good act. That was slick.
Yeah, it was a good time, but good to be with you for sure.
Absolutely. James Scully. We hear from Scully all the time.
Happy Breeders' Cup, Steve.
Well, I appreciate that. It doesn't have the same ring as Happy Derby, I got to tell you. Right? And Ed DeRosa,
glad to be here.
Did you round up the kids? They're all back from Halloween.
Yeah, we safely tricked and treated. The rain came Wednesday, so we did it on Tuesday and had a good time. Lots of candy. I've raided the Snickers and Nerds, so ready for the week.
Outstanding. So you're all hyped up on sugar, in other words.
Exactly.
Can't be more so than me. I've hyped up on coffee, and of course we're hyped up on Breeders' Cup. I don't want to spend an inordinate amount of time on Friday. We'll hit some highlights because a lot of people will listen to this later on after they get back from work, even as late as tomorrow morning. So we'll concentrate on Saturday. But before we even do that, Ed, do you want to give everybody the rundown on materials and resources?
Yeah, absolutely. Bristnet.com/BC. So easy to get to, easy to remember. Bristnet.com/BC. Workout reports, of course. Gus Alonzo, Spotlight Selections, The Champ, Michael Bay. Chalk.
Richie Yang,
absolutely. Dick Powell. So we got all the regions of the country covered for your handicapping needs. And of course, Bristnet.com on the blog, Kelly Riley's indispensable European information. I know you had her on yesterday.
And Vance so. Hansen, we had him on. Yeah. Vance actually got a couple of words in over the course of the 90 minutes.
Well, I'm sure he made everyone count, and hopefully people will be able to, ourselves included, glean some valuable information from them. But yeah, bristnet.com/BC, handicapper sheet, spotlight selections, the whole nine. And my best bet of the whole Breeders' Cups today, so let's not completely gloss over Friday.
Well, no, because we would hate that for that to happen and for you to have to red board the rest of the year. Well, then I guess, all right, then I guess we'll do it. I do want to ask a question. I've got the BrisNet stuff here, and I've, it's funny. There's a couple of things within the BrisNet Ultimate PPs that I hybrid a ton of resources. Use the pace projector, a time form. I'm a Thorograph guy for my speed figures. When I'm looking at the BrisNet, I'll let each of you hit a different item. What is, for you, and this is very different from Derby, but when it comes to Breeders' Cup, what portion of those PPs and of the Briss product parameter is most valuable to you in your decision-making?
For me, I'll say the class ratings, because we actually do have a rating for most European races, and it's a pretty tight measure, but even a point means something when it comes to the class rating. So for this Breeders' Cup event, more so than the Triple Crown, trying to assess the European runners, the class ratings to me are invaluable. And the Europeans do typically come out higher. So even for me, it's not even like, oh, this one has the highest class rating. It's more about the gap, and it gives you a real sense of how competitive the Americans could be. So I definitely, that's one of the first things I do, and I think differentiates Breeders' Cup from other events.
Yeah, I echo those sentiments, but for me, what I've learned since switching over BrisNet last couple of years is the average class of the last three, probably a little more than just the current class, gives you a little better feel. But I defer to these guys. They've been digging into this stuff for decades at this point.
Well, and on that topic, Scott, you bring up an interesting point, because now, you know, you're on the team, and so you start using this product as your principal past performance and handicapping information. How long has it taken you to adapt to it?
It's a pretty quick switch, Steve. I'd say it took a couple weeks in general, and then you learn more things as you go on. Prime Power is probably the best number, it seems like. I know that the guys are into that, and I tend to look at that first and foremost if I look at these numbers. Also, the pace ratings are pretty solid. I use other tools as well, but in a general sense, they give me a pretty good perspective, and I really like that.
Yeah, and I'll say, like, in turf routes, the late pace ratings are the most important as far as our numbers go for turf routes. Now, when it comes to dirt sprints, dirt routes, and even turf sprints, then I'm looking at the early pace numbers and our speed ratings. But I'll echo what Ed said about the class ratings for the Euros are huge. I did a bunch of analysis on that, and I've gone back and looked at it. I mean, to me, a part of the edge I'm giving the Euros is that, or, you know, our previous Breeders' Cup winners, I mean, horses obviously like Wise Dan and Teppin and others, had much, I think, had higher class ratings than our Americans do in this year's field. They were on par with the top Euros.
Interesting. And, of course, we do have, when we get to the mile later, there had been a little bit of a consideration that Oscar Performance, because of the turf condition, might have come out. Instead, we end up with Polydream coming out. And so, you know, there is some reformulation that people are going to have to make. And that also includes for today, because the presence of Big Drink of Water getting in as an also eligible pace pressure is going to be added to the juvenile turf. And, you know, Ravelli knows one speed, and that's all out. And let's quickly run through the Friday action.
Well, my best bet of the weekend's Big Drink of Water. I absolutely love him.
Talk about a setup. I had no idea that was coming.
Scott and I were both laughing when you said that.
Really?
Yeah. No, if this horse wins and it's not the best Breeders' Cup of my life, I did something wrong. And part of that, admittedly, is I came into the week liking Selcourt until I talked to Gary Young. It's really hard for me to be in her corner too bullishly. And I do like a few other horses, certainly more likely to win their race, but they're also going to be a fifth or a tenth the price of Big Drink of Water. So we're going to know early what kind of weekend it's going to be. I think this horse absolutely fits. Outside's going to go, and we'll hope to get a thrill at 15 or 20 to 1. I don't think we're going to get 30, but we'll get a square price.
Well, you're going to get, you'll get plenty, because people, there's people who don't even have Big Drink of Water
exactly.
on the page.
Yeah.
No, not even going to realize that he's in the race.
I'm singling in Maltese for that reason. I think the value in this case definitely will come from using the horse where others might have dismissed already.
Well, that's for sure. His price in the Maltese will be 50% above at least what his win tote is going to be. Isn't that funny? It just so happens that I'd been on top of Ravelli with also with the little New York bred that he won with at Finger Lakes, and so we'd had the conversation, and you know, Big Drink, you know, was going to be a marginal candidate to get in, especially with the European invasion. And these are good Europeans. Let's not pretend.
Yeah.
You know, just because I tried to juxtapose yesterday with Vance and Kelly, and also with Nick Luck. Just because the Euros have not won a Breeders' Cup turf sprint, a Saturday turf sprint, it doesn't mean that these juveniles should be just dismissed.
Yeah.
Because, in fact, this is a group, you know, usually the ones that have shown up have been misfits. Mm-hmm. They've been milers trying to cut back. They've been, you know, all kinds of...
Couldn't handle a turn.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. There's been all kinds of weirdo horses that were well-regarded in Europe but had no business, you know, being well-bet here. But do not make that mistake with this group of Euros.
Yeah, and it's a Breeders' Cup race now, so that raises the stakes, especially on an international stage, and attracts a different type of animal.
Well, and Soldier's Call, of course, and we've talked about Well Done Fox all week. I guess I'm more moved by the death of you know, the Leicester City, the Thai industrialist. I thought that was a mammoth story, I guess, because if you're a soccer fan and were familiar with you know, Leicester City winning their first, you know, Premier League 5,000 to 1, and he is the one who got it done, but he was getting bigger and bigger into racing with this Wolf, with this King Power team.
If you like long shots, that was Leicester City was one of the biggest ever, I think.
Yeah, 5,000 to 1.
Yeah, that was serious upset city.
Coming off the relegation list to win. It's and they say they're going to put a statue of him outside of King Power Stadium. He is a plucky horse, and you know, you've got not just Well Done Fox, but I'll tell you, the more I looked, So Perfect kept kind of worming his way into my tickets. You know, these are horses that have run, you know, seven times, and they're seasoned, and they've come here, and they look, you know, they look polished as can be out in the morning.
Yeah, and Sergei Prokofiev.
Listen to a lot of classical music.
Yeah,
for you.
I found out about that yesterday. Admittedly, so Soldier's Call, Well Done Fox, So Perfect, all on my ticket. I'm Euros, and I'm gonna throw in a Big Drink of Water because of Ed and the value that we spoke about. He's not even, you know, you print out the Brisna PPs. He's not even on the page with the other horses.
Well, we all have to bet Big Drink of Water now, so we won't have to listen to him for the rest of.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I, you know, like a lot of people, I'm looking at like a pick four, pick five, like looking for a single, and I'll obviously have tickets with the newspaper or record single. And I mean, there's just a chance she's just much better than the her rivals, and you know, looks, you know, so logical. She's the most likely winner. But on the other ticket that I'll play, I'm going to single Restless Rider, because I look at a race like the Juvenile Fillies where the money is going to be going in four or five different directions. Mm-hmm. Those are the kind of races that are if you've got a strong opinion, those are the best kind of races to single, because that allows you to spread in races where other people are narrowing, because they're going to be using all these fillies in the Juvenile Fillies.
Totally agree. That contrarian ticket style can be huge today. You won't even need to catch bombs necessarily to blow it up. If you could beat New newspaper of record and use just one of the favorites in a race like the Juvenile Fillies, allow yourself to spread elsewhere, you could get a big score. Not to say that I'm against newspaper of record, but just for example.
Absolutely. And one of the things we've made a couple of points as the week has gone on, and as and I want to ask you collectively what you're going to do about this turf course, which is a disaster, and there's no polite way to minimize that. We have no idea how deep and boggy it's going to be inside the temporary rail now, you know, now that it's down for these 2 days. Veteran Churchill watchers say that the first couple of paths are notorious that way in terms of being, you know, particularly soft, even though it's going to be pristine. Then you've got the outer paths that are where the grass is clearly dead and the root system is in trouble. You got clods flying up as these horses outside the dogs. You know, so the horses that are going to be from the sixth path out, God knows what kind of footing they're going to have. How are you dealing with this anticipated scenario in the turf races that virtually are tomorrow? They alternate every race. So if you're a pick three player, you absolutely have to play at least one turf race with two dirt races. So you can't minimize. I mean, and your doubles are all involving a turf and a dirt race.
Personally, I'm going to try to spread more in turf races because of this, and there probably will be a lot more randomness than there normally would be on a turf course like this. You see Ruby Nation in the PPs. I remember that race at Saratoga when it was a mess in the one day this summer, and Ruby Nation was the longest shot on the board and got to the wire first. So I certainly think using as many horses in those races and narrowing down and singling or doubling up in dirt races might be the way to go.
I think part of the game theory for me is let other people overthink it, and I'll just stick with who I think are the better horses are. That said, I do think there are some opportunities where maybe I didn't have conviction in the first place. You do have to open up and be more willing to take bigger prices, as Scott noted. From a track profile perspective, I think the outside post, is, as the numbers have shown in the mile race in particular, outside is not ideal, and those horses need to do more to maneuver on the course to get better position, and the more you're moving on a course like this, the more I'm concerned. So I am going to go into these races, big drink of water accepted, on the outside in the turf sprint. But the 2 and 3 turn races, I think the inside will be better.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just going to have to adjust based on what I see today in the turf races. But I mean, I'm a little bit like Ed. I mean, I'm just going to have to go with the best horse that, you know, as I handicap it, because I'm not going to be making a projection without seeing any of these races.
Part for me is that's why I'm willing to take a stand against newspaper or record. Just even money on this course, no thanks.
Let's get a couple of thoughts about anything else for today, James.
I got one. I got a long shot in the juvenile turf, Arthur Kitt.
Yeah.
I like those two races. That Royal Lodge, he didn't fire his best race, but he still was okay running fifth, I thought. And I think that that effort really increases his value. I think he's got a lot of upside, and he's going to be, you know, he's 20-1.
Complexity or game winner?
I like game winner a little bit because I'm a little doubtful of complexity, but I'll definitely use complexity because he's such a wire-to-wire threat. He's the lone speed potentially. Now, that might not play out that way, but he's the quickest from the gate.
Yeah, my concern with game winner is everything's gone so perfectly in his trips in his first couple races in California. Now, he could be the kind of horse that makes his own trips.
Funny side.
Yeah, exactly. Or he could need things his way. But I think he gets tested today, and at a short price, it may be worth taking a chance against. Sounds like I am in the minority in that camp, though.
I'm going with Well Defined in the juvenile.
That'd be great. That'd be one. Yeah. I'd be, if Kathleen O'Connell wins the British Cup Juvenile, America wins.
Yeah,
racing wins.
Yeah, I'll be a homer for the Brisnet numbers there. I mean, he's popped 2 triple digits, and obviously maybe a mile and a 16th. This one's limit, but gets big money, Mike, and a big price to go with it. So I got to take a shot.
Let's. You got more? You're good?
No, I'm good.
All right, we'll put a bow on Friday, and we will sprint to the top of the hour into Saturday's action. And even before we get to the Saturday action, the Cherokee Run, which In fact, all the undercard stakes are terrific. The marathon, by the way, today. Who you got? You got anything clever in the marathon?
I like Honorable Duty off that.
So do
last
I.
Race.
That's who I picked. Yeah. That's who.
Toast
to New York.
Yeah. I'm gonna give Term of Arden one more chance. I've given him a couple chances.
I was a big fan of his. big fan of his. But don't forget, in the remake of the movie Marathon Man, Brendan Walsh stars as the Dustin Hoffman. Is it safe? Because he better than anybody. It's unbelievable. He knows what kind of horse is going to do it, and he knows how to train him to get him to the marathon distance. You think about Scuba, and who's the other one?
Destine?
That wasn't Brendan.
I'm at the marathon.
Destin, by the way, I just saw yesterday. Destin got a stud deal.
Yeah, in Florida, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think. At Pleasant Acres?
I just met Florida.
All right.
But in the Cherokee run, I like Cowboy Karma. I can't take Audible at that sort of price. Yeah.
You know, I hear you. I ended up picking.
I don't know how he looks on Thoroughgraph, but the big notch all the way to his direction was on Ragazin. He's explosive. So.
All right. How about tomorrow in the Cherokee Run? Where
I like Mr. Freeze.
So do I. That's
me too.
Progressed off that West Virginia Derby a little bit, but
turn back.
Yeah, 5-furlong bullet. They're going to have to catch him.
Agreed.
12-1 may not happen, but I'm on board as well.
Well, it's a big field. Field of 12,
sure.
and there's a lot of all the Tweel 11. You can scratch Cool Bobby out of there. Peter Urton coming out, but there's people to take money in here. Audible's going to take plenty of money.
Of course.
And this is not the goal, as Marty McGee laid out for everybody earlier today. All right, let's now we'll rifle through. We'll start with the Filly and Mare Sprint. And Marley's Freedom outside doesn't hurt, of course, going 7/8. But, James, what do you think?
I got a little bit of contrarian opinion in there. I like Sky Diamonds. This was my top pick, and I'm also going to use Finley's Lucky Charm. I've grown more and more enamored with her as we've gotten closer. So a couple horses, double digits on the morning line that I'm going to use. But, that's a race I'll just have in the multis. I don't have a lot of interest in playing that race straight.
I'm also going to use a price, and that horse is my top pick. That's number 6, Shalon. Arna de la Cour, second off the layoff. I thought she ran a great race in the TCA, arguably the best that day with a wide trip against Golden Mischief. I like the pattern for this horse. She likes to win, and I think she's going in the right direction. The price is too good to pass up. Obviously, Marley's Freedom, though, the clear horse to beat if she runs that test, they're running for second.
No doubt. Yeah.
I came into the week after going through the pre-entries thinking Selcourt would be a big play for me, and for those that have seen the videos we've done with Gary Young, it's really hard to be bullish on her based on his feedback, so I've tempered my enthusiasm. And Golden Mischief, who Scott mentioned, also coming out of that TCA, a now horse, and you're getting 10-1 on a 3-race winning streak, and just seems capable to either be right off the pace, depending on what Selcourt's able to do from the rail, and his one from mid-pack as well, so like the trackability with the middle post.
We'll stay with you, Ed, and press forward into the Dirt Mile.
Turf Sprint.
Oh, excuse me, Turf Sprint. Oh,
okay, yeah. I really like Disco Partner. I am concerned with the ground, so that another situation where the enthusiasm's tempered by other variables. Bucaro was my second pick, so I'll definitely be using him probably in equal strength now with Disco Partner, especially at their relative prices. But a big Keeneland flavor to my early Saturday picks.
And I think World of Trouble could just be somewhat of a freak. He's done really very little wrong going one turn. And the Woody Stevens was obviously a very acceptable fourth place, battling with Promises Fulfilled, especially what we know now. Moved to the turf over a yielding turf at Saratoga and then a good turf at Belmont and buried those fields. I think he could be a standout. And if not, I think number 8, Chantaline, has really impressed me with her grit.
She's turned into a tiger.
Yeah, yeah. Really learned to win races.
I agree with Scott. World of Trouble is one of my best bets on Saturday. The one thing about this turf sprint is it didn't come up with a bunch of blazing speed in there. I think I had mentioned Conquest Tsunami. That's down the hill speed. Those types I like to play against, cutting back to 5 or 5.5 furlongs. And I just, like Scott said, he likes soft. He likes ground with give to it. And he's got the right pattern. He's moving forward. He's just really a talented colt.
Vision Perfect for me, among the terrific service horses, and I really have not heard a lot of people mention, but he certainly figures to sit a you know, a pleasant trip. Mm-hmm. James, keep going, and now we go to the Dirt Mile.
Well, I mean, you know, Catalina Cruiser, I like Catalina Cruiser, but, you know, that's the kind of race where with a big favorite like that, Steve, I'll be looking to play some straight exactas, and I'll be fading City of Light from that tough rail post. I don't think they want to go to the lead, but they have to go to the lead from down in there, probably. The horse I like underneath Catalina Cruiser is Giant Expectations. Was off from March. Had been running him long. Cut back to that ACK off that long layoff, and he missed the start that day and launched a really sharp move on the far turn. He was in with a chance, turning for home. He weakened a little bit in the lane, but he's moving forward off that race. He's going to run a good one and hit the board. Giant Expectations.
The one thing I would caution people with when it comes to you know, the inside post on City of Light. City of Light has one advantage from down in there in the chute, well before the opening. Trigger Warning is going. So Trigger Warning is going to clear, which gives City of Light and Javier Castellano every opportunity to come off the rail and be exactly where he wants. Do not worry about Javier Castellano finding a comfortable zone, especially with the horse to his right clearing. It opens up the options. So I'm not concerned about City of Light from down inside.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen that, though, before, too, though, with, like, Nyquist, where I just thought in the Preakness he had speed right to his outside from an inside post. And to me, he was just a little bit rank and didn't want to settle. So I'm a little bit worried about, you know, might not be Javi can craft that trip. That, you know, if he gets that trip, yeah, that improves his chances. But I just don't like him from the rail post, Steve.
Take Awesome Slew out, everybody, by the way, if you're following along.
Yeah, I actually landed on City of Light. I do think the top two, Catalina Cruiser and City of Light, are obviously the horses to beat. I don't have to tell anyone that. I'm hopeful that City of Light's, being more battle-tested is going to help him. I like the one-turn mile should suit him perfectly. And I'm in terms of price horses to include underneath, I'm with James on Giant Expectations. This horse really was in strong form at the end of last year, and then he happened to run in the San Antonio where there was no pace around two turns, and it kind of came back. They won the race, and it may have, in the long run, not have worked out as well as they would have hoped because they tried the Pegasus and the Big Cap, and that's not really this horse's thing, I don't think, on two turns against that level of field. So the ACK was an encouraging start. He had really very little chance in that race, and I think he can definitely hit the board here at a price with Julian on board.
I'm in on Catalina Cruiser. He would have been my pick if he had gone to the Classic. It definitely fits this race. City of Light, and we talked about this last week, Steve, loved what I was seeing from him earlier in the year. He's the type of horse where, let's say, Buquero, who I like in the turf sprint, wins. I don't want to be ripping up tickets on City of Light, but this is purely a horizontal race for me. No interest in hooking these horses up with anyone else. I'm using Catalina Cruiser, probably two-thirds to three-quarters of my tickets, City of Light on the others. If anyone else wins, start over in the sixth.
I'm troubled here. I like everybody in this group, and I don't want to limit it to City of Light and Catalina Cruiser, but Firenze Fire, too much respect for him at the one turn mile that he's proven now over and over and over again that he is his trip. I'm surprised that locally there isn't more affection for Seven Trumpets, who certainly has given a couple of indications, obviously with the Jerkins performance,
right.
Because
Friends Fire made Rant look like it was going to go right by him, and he dug in and held second. I did like that race.
Absolutely, and we had cases made for Isotherm earlier, and I also haven't heard Bravazo's name mentioned once all week.
The coach. No, I mean, and we've talked a lot about this with Warriors Club, obviously the house horse. I mean, with a lot of these, when they take a step backward, they keep going. But with Lucas, he's made a career in obviously the very big wins. But, you look at horses like Cat Thief in the Breeders' Cup, and he knows how to get them ready. So hard to dismiss. But like I said, I'm like you. After the top two, I have a hard time separating. So to me, it's just let's survive and advance this leg, even at a short price.
March or die. The Philly and Mare Turf. And Ed, might as well, you got the stick there. We'll start with you. And there's a lot going on in here.
Yeah.
The way it turned out.
And unfortunately, I'm sort of doubling up on some chalk the way the race connectivity went. But Sister Charlie was a horse I was super impressed with in the Jenny Wiley. The New York, she got beat by her stablemate, which she turned the tables on in the Beverly D. But I just thought that that Beverly D, and then I'm looking at the Brissnet rating, and it's a bit light. But, you know, had to close into a really slow pace and really was clearly going to get there by the 16th pole. I just thought this is my Breeders' Cup horse, and no one that came into this race is scaring me off that opinion. So it is a shortish price, but this is one of those, not a big visual handicapper, but I have learned that I can identify the extremes, and that day in the Beverly D, I just thought she was on the extreme end of what a good horse looks like, and I'm going to stick with it.
Oh, Scott.
No, go ahead, because this way, yeah, you can pass that.
Okay, yeah, I'm on Wild Illusion, and I thought the three-year-old filly for Godolphin, Charlie Appleby, thought that her races this summer were solid, but she was a little bit eager, you know, wire to wire, two starts back in that Nassau, you know, was on the front end with Magic Wand in that Ribbledale. That pre-opera, Steve, I love that effort. She settled in mid-pack, you know, tipped out, showed great acceleration. I think she's really moving forward as a quality filly who's, you know, going to run a big race.
Do you have to use Wild? Do you have to use Magic Wand defensively?
Yes. Yeah, I do. Yeah, definitely. And she's my second pick.
Scott.
Yeah, I'm with James on Wild Illusion, and I'm also going to go. I'm going to be on Too Deep in this race in all horizontals, and that's how I'm going to approach the race. And number one, four-star Crook is my favorite of the brown runners. I like she obviously finishes tremendously and has shown the ability to do so over and off turf course, which I like. I don't really see Sister Charlie has been better this year, but not much better. They've kind of been nearly equal to me. I like the inside draw. I like Gerard Ortiz Jr. There should be enough pace in here. I think she's going to come with a real serious run.
Yeah, and they're 3-1 and 5-1, but I think there's going to be a much bigger gap between Sister Charlie and Four Star Crook.
Well, Four Star Crook is unbelievable. She is just remarkable.
And don't let the New York bred fool you, right?
if you're still worried about that at the age of six,
right.
$1.6 million later, she's 12 for 19.
Unbelievable.
She's just tremendous, and she has gotten over every possible footing a turf horse can get over. So that's a side note in here. You know, one horse I'm surprised not to hear come up at all is Zira. And yes, she drew poorly, but you know, she can be placed almost anywhere.
Right.
So I'm going to assume that you get Dottori, you know, kind of taking back and then using the going by the stands the first time, uses that as a place to improve position, and then, you know, come with her finish. I would not. Rick Hammerly is going to be joining us at the end of the show, and Hammer has taught, I think, every listener not to be overly concerned about outside posts. That if you like the horse, don't get nuts and abandon your you know predilection just based on that outside.
Well, look at
draw.
All the long shots you would have been throwing out,
exactly.
You know, in this decade. And Azira 15-1 on the morning line. That's also. I don't know if she'll be that high, but that has some appeal.
I think she may be just because of the outside post. Yeah. Like Steve said, a lot of people are discounting her.
She's
at this
won
point.
Four of her last five starts and third in a Group One. So yeah, there's some class there.
It's hard not to be impressed. And this horse, this Teofilo daughter, was absolutely targeted for this. This is not an afterthought. This is not any of the things that we usually worry about with Euros coming over. She was targeting this race from early, and Dermot Weld, he's won a few races around the world. Scott, we'll stick with you. The sprint, and this has become a bit of a goofball scenario too, with just nine in here, and it feels like there's three speeds and three closers and three horses in the middle of the pack.
Yeah, and I mean, to me, this is the race that the star power is definitely prevalent in. I think it's with Roy H and Imperial Hint, we get the 1-2 punch from last year. You get Imperial Hint gets a chance to beat Roy H, and then you have the three-year-old Promises Fulfilled, who's really done nothing wrong and showed a ton of grit last time and winning his third straight for Dale Romans. To me, it's Roy H's race to lose. I just have a ton of respect for that horse. He's been good to me. He put in kind of a clunker in the Bing Crosby off the bench after Dubai, and then really came back to life in the Santa Anita Sprint Championship. I think he gets the pace to run out. I love the outside post. If he could translate his form to the Churchill down surface, I think he runs them all down late.
Providence is fulfilled to me. Has got a chance to definitely go wire to wire. It'll be interesting to see how much pressure he catches from the outside. But XY Jet coming out was a huge defection. I like the inside post for Whitmore as well. I liked his effort. I like the way he closed inside in both the Belmont Sprint and the Forego. He was taken out of his element last time where he had to chase Promises Fulfilled. And, so he's a horse that has moved forward to me since the summer. I will say this about Imperial Hint. The horse has run twice at Churchill Downs. He was up the track both times. If you like Imperial Hint, you would have bet Skip Away if he had come back to Churchill Downs for the Classic the next year after running up the track twice. Some horses don't like Churchill Downs, and Imperial Hint looks like one to me.
I'm with Scott on Roy H. The last race with the 105 Brisk speed rating sticks out, and then Promise Fulfilled. If anyone's going to lead him all the way, it's going to be him. The sort of some of the sexy picks beyond the top three, Whitmore and Limousine Liberal. Reality for me is they're just not faster than the other two, and maybe, slower horses win sometimes, but this isn't a spot I'm looking to upset the ones that I do think have proven they can win this.
I've struggled with this mightily, and I will just mention there's a couple of horses that have oddball performances or performances that can impact this, including Always Sunshine. And Ned Allard would be unbelievable if Ned Allard were to win a race like this or even, frankly, hit the board. He's got that race at Delaware that he is a horse that has run, he runs hard every time, but he's got a couple of races that fit in here quite well, and is going to be maybe the third longest shot on the board. Just anybody that had an interest in Always Sunshine, don't be afraid to use them. Talk about the mile, and it may be a lot to ask anybody to make decisions by now. We've only known for an hour and a half that Poly Dream is out.
Yeah, and on my side, wanting to fade her, it kind of hurts my wagering strategy because that was a short price I was looking to beat. I do like another three-year-old filly that still is in the race. I Can Fly for Aiden O'Brien. No slouch, just finishing behind Roaring Lion, who's in the Classic on soft ground. And this is a point I'll mention, that Brisnet class rating, 125 in the PPs for that Queen Elizabeth, which is a very, very stout number. And a 10-1, I'm going to go with an angle that when you point blank ask me why I like the Brisnet PPs, this is it. So we'll put it to the test.
Yeah, I'm going to probably side with spreading in this race and spreading with Europeans. Expert Eye is my lukewarm top choice. I like that Gary Young pushed him yesterday when we were all discussing the works of this horse. I liked what I saw from him visually. And One Master on the Rail also seems like she is in with a chance. I'm going to fade, though, Oscar Performance, and also fade Catapult and Analyze it. Those three Americans should take at least some money, and hope maybe I can catch one of the bigger prices that I'll use in the sequence, but I'd be lying if I was going to say I was going to bet heavily on this race in race.
Yeah, I'm same opinion a little bit. I like Expert Eyes, my top pick. I like One Master as well. She's coming in good form, and I'll definitely use the far outside horse in the mile. I guess the Divisadero and Clemmy are the far outside.
Yeah.
Number 14, Mustachery, for Sir Michael Stout, totally under the radar. It seems like I don't think this is the strongest addition of the mile, and those last two wins, while maybe over suspect company, definitely have him move in the right direction.
And in fact, Clemmy getting into this race. I mean, there's a horse that nobody even thought of, would be involved. I don't even know if she was out galloping with that contingent the other day. Was she even in that group? But coming out of the Sun Chariot, where Lawrence, this is the reason that happily, there's a couple of horses that didn't show up. Coronet and Lawrence are two of them, and if they had been here, if both either or, they would be in their respective races. They'd be major players. So don't be shy about the races. Happily beaten ahead by Lawrence in that Sun Chariot, and that has been a race historically that's been productive in the Breeders' Cup. So Clemmy was way back there. Was she here last year as a 2 year old? No. She had been rumored. I mean, this is one of those. She did win the Chivalry Park last year, and maybe that's why that she was at that point thought about. But she really has not improved a step.
Yeah, she hasn't gone
on.
Yeah.
But yet, O'Brien brings her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She does. She's got the bet class on there. She does have a couple thirds, which,
I'll give you, and I don't know if you guys have it in your stuff, but I can tell you, Craig Walker last night on Stats Racelens came up with a sire stat.
Mm-hmm.
Galileo's at Churchill? Not good. Ed?
Yeah, I'll have to look, but small sample size, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, but
still
notable.
Yeah.
That they not so good. James, take us home. We got the late pick three. A distaff that is not. It's funny. I've been hyping all week that this is really truly a player's Breeders' Cup. The lack of star power and so forth, and even a little bit of a lack of a buzz, and the fact that we don't have that phony Grand Slam stupidity to deal with. We've got really just pure racing. This distaff is basically a female version of the classic. I mean, there is just a unlimited set of potentialities in here, and not the least of which is having the Oaks horses come back and run 1-2-3 again in some other order.
Right, correct. And I came into the early in the week, I was like, Monomoy Girl, I gave her the edge, because my opinion in here is I'm against Abel Tasman, because she's got that look like that Arrogate had last year, where in that Zenyatta, I mean, completely different effort than La Troyenne earlier this year, where she was fourth. I mean, she was dull from the start. I know there was like all this, sad story about like, hey, she could have been a little bit under the weather, but she came back and drilled her 12 days. And sometimes horses just get over the top. I think that race in the Personal Ensign was too hard a race on her. And so I'm against her. But I will say, look, going over Wildcat, and I went back and watched that Beldame again yesterday. Those first two races, arguably, were just to get acclimated to North America. And she didn't beat that strong a field in that Beldame, but the way she finished was looked good. That's a race to move forward off of. And Wildcat's got a big chance in my eyes.
Yeah, I mean, Wildcat's one of the two horses I'm looking forward to betting most this weekend. Not that she has to win, but I liked the trajectory, and I think this is a field where there's a potential of a lot of the other top contenders arrows pointing down. Wildcat came over with tremendous fanfare from Chile, did not run all that well in her first two races at Saratoga, and then I thought put it all together against, it wasn't a strong group in the Beldame, but I really liked the way she did it. And like I said, I think the arrow's pointing up. You get Jose Ortiz. I'm fine with the nine post. I think I'm going to use her with Blue Prize, who I think has just been a real tough animal and has shown, like you said, James, some horses dislike Churchill. Well, this horse definitely likes Churchill, and she's been very tough. And then I can't toss Abel Tasman as easily. I think she has the races where if she runs those races, she beats this field, for fun, relatively speaking. To me, toss the three-year-old, use the olders in this one.
And another one that likes Churchill is that champion. Pain problems as well.
I was going to talk about her because I think she is sort of the Blue Prize light that everybody glomming onto the Blue Prize angle, which is great. That's fine. But Champagne Problems is going to get a fabulous inside ground saving trip. It's Calvin Burrell's sole focus, and some things to like about her.
My only concern with her is I'm not sure if she. I really wanted to see her run at a one turn mile or a mile type race. I'm a little worried about the distance, but that horse has a load of talent.
I'll just echo the Wildcat love. There's too many question marks on Monomoy Girl and Abel Tasman at short prices to back bullishly, and I think Wildcat, you're, as I said, going in the right direction at the right price.
Well, you got big problems in here, which is that this entire field, I mean, starting with Abel Tasman, if Abel Tasman is okay and she runs her race,
yeah, definitely,
she buries this group. Let's be honest.
She's the fastest one in the field.
That's the first order of business. Then after that, you've got a group of basically seven of them that are arguably within, you know, a couple of lengths of each other, and then it's all going to be trip issues. LaForce at 20-1 is a ridiculous price, and she's going to get a very advantageous trip behind the speed, and this has been a target. Patty Gallagher has had her targeting for this. I'll tell you who has looked phenomenal out here, and she was, along with Midnight Bisou, I basically keyed off of Midnight Bisou and Wonder Godot in the Oaks. Wonder Godot is circling back to a good race.
Yeah, she trains so forwardly for the Oaks. She likes the track.
She likes the track. She's been bucking and squealing and hobby horsing, leaping in the air. She is doing terrific, and she's coming up to a good race.
And Mark Cassie, for me, reminds a lot of Wayne Lucas, and that the bad race, just, I mean, Mark isn't afraid to run his horses, and that means the more they run, they run bad sometimes, and there shouldn't be as much shame in that as unfortunately there is. And he can pop them back, unlike other trainers, which have their patterns. You know, they might need a break. Mark's not like that, so there's definitely some confidence, even off a poor performance.
Yeah, it's a terrific addition. Let's get the late double done, Ed. The turf and everything starts and may finish with an Abel.
Yeah, no, I mean she's the star of the show from name power for sure, and one of those. Even though I'll probably be trying to beat her, especially you know, if I'm to this race, I'd like to be live a little deeper. But unquestionably, one of the names in here, if she puts on a show, is a fan of the animal. You just have to applaud an ARC winner finally breaking that turf jinx. But I am going to try to beat her at even money. I'm going to have to stick with my CDI roots here. But I thought Robert Bruce was great in the Arlington Million, very unlucky in the Manhattan. The soft turf, legitimate concern based on the Turf Classic, but Channelmaker was just better that day on that course, and maybe can turn things around here. So at 10-1, we'll ride the Chad train on Robert Bruce, but Enable is the horse to beat. I'm not going to pretend that she's totally vulnerable.
Keep the mic and your classic thoughts. Give us the late double.
Yeah, I'm going with the closers in the classic. I'm bombing out on top. I think Gunavera, it's not so much a he's fastest in the race play. I do like the pattern I see on the sheets, and he's a horse who touts himself in the morning. I vividly remember some negative comments on Gunavera when he didn't run well. That marks have been positive training this week, so at the price, I'm going to ride with him. But Mind Your Biscuits is also an A.
Yeah, I like Enable. I mean, I think she's going to win tomorrow, but that's kind of race where I'd like to play a couple straight exactas. I'll bet her over Magic Wand, which won't be over Magical, which won't be the best paying exacta. But the other one that I'm going to play straight, and if this race is up for grabs behind her in upper stretch, I know he's going to be finishing, and it's Arklo. He likes soft turf. He likes Churchill Downs. He was fourth in the Woodford Reserve. He won the American Turf both the last two years, two springs on soft ground, and that wasn't a bad effort last time, at the mile and a half. So I think last two efforts, he's going to be finishing.
Look at you, your classic.
My classic pick, Mind Your Biscuits, just a hard-trying, hard-knocking type that's going to get the right trip, I hope, from post 11. Number one past 7 furlongs till last time, and not only did he win and look good here over the track, but he got a 109 brisk speed rating. Only went five horses in the field have run that.
Who were the others?
West Coast, McKenzie, Axelrod, and Accelerate.
Well, that's 4 out of 5 of my five pack. And Scott Shapiro.
For the turf, I'm going to just try to get through this race with Wildcat Singland and the Distaff and Horizontals. Obviously, Enable is a horse that, if she runs a race, will be tough to beat. But I won't be able to live with myself singling her if she doesn't run a race. I've just seen this happen too many times with European short-priced horses in this race. Waldgeist, I'll be including. Also, Robert Bruce. you kind of made me think about Arklow at that price, James, I have to admit. But in the classic, I'm going to side against Accelerate, like I know a lot of people may be doing in horizontals. My top pick is McKinsey, but it's going to be pretty much in Baffert, I trust, with the two horses gone second off the layoff, McKinsey and West Coast. And I do, I have come around on Mind Your Biscuits. I thought this was a one-turn horse before last time out, but the Lucas Classic, I mean, that horse did it with such ease and showed me that this horse is supremely talented on both one and two turns, so I have a ton of respect.
Well, we respect the work of everybody at the BrisNet team, the Twin Spires blog roll, and we got a lot of great information from Vance and Kelly yesterday with an international bend, and Scott Shapiro and Ed DeRosa and James Scully. Follow them all and watch them on the track feeds and so forth, and you never know when you're going to run into Ed at some obscure cafe in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, or you know, down in Dogpatch.
I love it. Dogpatch isn't far from my house.
Your wife is from Dogpatch.
London, Kentucky. That's yeah. Right. Yeah, and there's a Dogpatch thrift shop where I live now. So,
London,
she's,
Manchester.
Yeah, she lived
that's,
it.
That's
yep.
Dogpatch.
Yep, it sure is.
I sold the Island Creek Coal Company for Cannon Mills. Working out of Cincinnati.
Easter Sunday one year, I went to Mass down there because that's where we were celebrating the holiday, and Wayne Catalano was there. He was driving up from Florida, and that's where he stopped to go to Mass.
That's hysterical.
Yeah.
That is.
That's like the crazy. That's like, that should be in a movie.
Yeah. Wayne Catalano at a church in London, Kentucky.
I don't think they put him in the choir, did they?
He stood in the back.
Guys, thanks so much. This was tremendous.
Appreciate it. What a weekend. And you said it. I mean, just, maybe a little light on Stars for the mainstream. But if you're a horse player, you have a chance to make a life-changing score, potentially.
We've got Horse Player next as Nick Tamaro joins us. When we come back, the last 45 minutes of our week here at Churchill Downs. Always fun to come here after a Derby and have a Breeders' Cup week. It's very different, always fun. And we'll close it out, probably. Rick Hammerly is standing by as well at Santa Anita. We'll get Hammer's Cup thoughts before we wrap it up from here at the Downs. Back after this with Nick.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Don't wait. With 14 challenging Breeders' Cup races, 5 Friday, November 2nd, and 9 Saturday, November 3rd, you've got to be ready. Kickstart your handicapping mojo with ExpressBet's free Breeders' Cup wager guide, available online at expressbet.com beginning Friday, October 26th. Get analysis, selections, price plays, and $100 wagering strategies for every Breeders' Cup race from expert handicappers and broadcasters, plus plenty of stats and trends you won't find anywhere else. XBTV's Jeff Siegel, At the Races radio host Steve Vick, NBC Sports Analysis Nick Luck, and multiple Eclipse Award winner Dick Girardi anchor a powerful team of guide experts. NBC Sports Analyst Eddie Olchek and retired sportscaster Brent Musburger of VSEN will contribute to a revised guide version available Thursday, November 1st. Go to expressbet.com now, open an account, and get the free guide and play Breeders' Cup.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest-growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.